Turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. In Matthew chapter 24, 12, the Bible says, "And because iniquity," speaking of the last days, it says, "because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." The love of many shall wax cold. And, you know, there was a time when folks would take the time to pick up folks thumbing down the road or open their doors to visitors that maybe they didn't know, somebody come and knock on the door. You weren't really worried about the fact that that person is there to do you harm or whatever. But nowadays we lock our doors and we don't. And when somebody comes down the driveway that we don't know, many times folks have told me I just close the blinds and act like I'm not home. You know, they do that. They also share that when they see the Jehovah's Witnesses coming or the Mormons coming, they just pull their blinds and act like they're not home. But we do live in a day when iniquity is abounding. Wickedness is everywhere. And the Bible says in Matthew 24:12, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And so there's a lot of love that is waxing cold today because of all the evil in this world. But the psalmist here in Psalm 37 tells us to not to fret the evildoer, but to get on with our trust in the Lord, and very soon the Lord will be coming to take us to a new home, a new land. And we're looking forward to that. Trust that you're looking forward to that tonight. Psalm 37, verses. We're going to share verses 1 through 11 before we have our communion tonight. Let me just read verses 1 and 2. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord," verse 3 says, "and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, tonight as we have another opportunity, Father, to come and to worship and to share and to have our fellowship together, Father, and to share in the Word, and also tonight, Father, as we come for communion, we thank you for the example that you've set for us, Father, in communion. Communion is a way of us reminding us, Father, of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross. It reminds us of your broken body that also, Father, was broken long before you even got to the cross. And tonight, Father, as we celebrate communion, it's also the purpose of communion is to remind us that you're coming again. So, Lord, tonight as we have our fellowship together, we ask you to get praise, get honor, and glory. For we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. In Psalm 37 and verse 1, again, it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." And I find myself watching the news, and I'm sure you find yourself watching the news, and it seems like that every item, there's very little positive news coming across the television or the radio. There's war throughout the world. There's crime throughout the world, and it just seems like there's nothing positive. And you can really get down and depressed. And I know Martha gets a little irritated with me because when I'm watching the news, I'm talking all the time. I'm terribly critical about some things that go on. And you know, we understand exactly why some of these misery and some of this wickedness and some of this evil is going on in the world. It's because we've turned away from the Lord Jesus. And when you turn away from the Lord Jesus, you throw right out the window God's security, God's protection, God's care, and just the security that comes with knowing him as our personal Savior. But verse 1 again says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." And why would we be envious of evildoers? Why would we be envious of evildoers? What does it seem happens with many evildoers? What seems to be the outcome of a lot of evil activity in the world? Just anybody. Wealth. Good. That's exactly right. That's right. Material gain. Most of the wickedness that goes on in this world is for the very purpose of gaining material things, increasing your wealth. And let me just share this, because the evildoers of this world have an inexhaustible appetite for gain and for money and for material and land and self-satisfaction. These are the gods of the wicked. They stop at nothing to gain the whole world. And their appetites are never satisfied. They gain the things of this world. When they gain the things of this world, they become well-to-do. They pinch a penny. Their soul is sold out to riches. And yet they're never satisfied. They're never satisfied. It's dangerous to envy them, for we may be tempted to follow their example. Proverbs 24, verses 1 through 3 says, Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And the lot of the wicked is made clear here in verse 2. It says in verse 2, "For they shall soon be cut off, or cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb." You'll remember the three little pigs. The first pig built his house with straw. The second pig built his house with sticks. And the third built his house with bricks. The wicked also build their houses upon the sand. But the Bible teaches us the righteous build their houses upon the rock. And it's not necessarily the concrete that's poured for the foundation of your home. What we're talking about is the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, of faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. But the Lord tells us in verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trusting in the Lord will bring the soul's complete satisfaction. The Lord will give us a land, a dwelling place. The Lord will make sure that we are fed. Sometimes people will say, "Well, you know, I would love to tithe to the church, but right now, and I would love to give to God's work, but right now, I just don't have those funds. Those funds just aren't available to do that." And you know, many times, and I certainly don't. You know, I don't look at the books. I don't even look at. I don't even ask about those things about tithes and offerings and what have you, but. But it's interesting that those people overlook the fact that maybe the reason that they don't have, and maybe the reason that they're chasing after every little dollar and so forth, is because they're not trusting the Lord. Is because they're not making that commitment to the Lord. The more you commit your life to the Lord Jesus, I truly believe that along with that comes the peace that each and every one of us longs for. So verse 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." My. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Just note the sequence of this verse. We are to delight ourselves in the Lord, which means to let him be our joy, to let him be the fountain of our happiness and the object of our love. And when this is properly attuned, he will so fill our heart that our deepest desire will be met in him. And so God says, "Delight thyself in the Lord." Delight in God means to find satisfaction and joy in God himself. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, the Bible says, For in God we live and we move and we have our being. Amy mentioned to me the other day, She said, "Pastor," and I don't think Amy will mind me sharing this with you. She said, "Pastor, do you find yourself thinking about God all the time?" She says, I do. And that's delighting yourself in the Lord. That's God being in every part of your being. He walks with me. He talks with me. You know, every day we have a close relationship with the Lord Jesus, and Amy has that, and that's why her mind, her consciousness is always upon the Lord, is because she loves him and she puts him first in her life. And so Acts 17:28 says, "For in Him we live and we move and we have our being." In our personal relationship to Him, in our conversing with Him, and in our obedience to Him. But note this too, that the desire of the heart of the Christian should be somewhat different than the desire of the flesh for the world. The desire of the heart of the Christian should be somewhat different than the desires of the flesh for the world. God does not promise to gratify all the appetites of the body, but to grant all the desires of the heart. And the heart and the heart's desire of a good man is it can be nothing other than to know and to love and to live for God, to please Him and to be pleased in Him. And these things can come to pass when, as verse 5 says, "We commit thy way unto the Lord and trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." When we commit thy way unto the Lord, our ways unto the Lord, and we trust Him, and He shall bring the desire of our heart to pass. What's the desire of your heart tonight? If it's in the will of God, it will come to pass. The ruthless and the wicked force their desire upon others. That's exactly what's happening in our world today. People wanting their own way, pushing and pulling, and making sure that they design this situation so that it comes out to satisfy them personally. So the ruthless and the wicked force their desire upon others, and they take by force or by deceitful methods all that they want. But as Christians, you and I must commit our way to the Lord and let Him lead us by the hand each and every day. Let God lead us by the hand every day. Verse 6 says, "And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." God will preserve our good name and our righteousness. He will make it to shine as a light, as the light on the noonday. You know, that's not our righteousness, though, really, is it? Is it? When people see the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, it's not really you that they're seeing. Really, what they're seeing is the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And so that's what the Scripture means when it says that we can, that in our activities, in our works, that we can praise God and we can give God the glory for all the things that we're able to accomplish in His name. He gets the praise, He gets the honor, and He gets the glory. What a tribute for the believer to have the Lord Jesus Christ promote you before those that would destroy you and your testimony. Verse 7 says, "Rest in the Lord." Oh my, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. You know, right there's something that this pastor needs to grab hold of. I don't know about you, but I certainly need to take that to heart. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. When we're resting in the Lord and being patient in the Lord, these are two of the hardest things for the believer to do. But the Holy Spirit can give us that rest and that patience when we draw close to Christ and lift up the Lord. That reminds me of the book, 90 Seconds or 90 Minutes in Heaven, as Mark shared portions of it last Sunday. The gentleman who was recovering from the accident. I mean, he couldn't understand why the pain kept on and on. 24 hours a day, he was hurting, and even days and months later, he is still suffering and still hurting, and he can't understand why. He's crying out to God for some answer to why he is going through all of this, and yet he puts on this tape. And he begins to play this Christian music. And the first song that he played was "Praise the Lord." And right there in that hospital, as he began to praise the Lord, somehow the Spirit of God just lifted him. And he began to concentrate on praising the Lord and lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ and focusing less on himself. And he testifies at that point in time that another miracle happened in his life because he was able to see the Lord Jesus and to lift up the Lord Jesus and to praise Him. And as he did that, the burden that he was carrying was lessened. Certainly the pain was still there, but he was able to persevere through it. And so the Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, and fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. With all the misery and the pain surrounding us these days, we should remember that these are all the signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should hold on to the precious promises of God's coming and wait patiently and restfully upon him. Verse 8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Every evildoer is going to find himself cut off from God one day. It'll be a horrifying experience for him for all eternity. The Christian should not envy the gain of the wicked and certainly not be a partaker of his evil deeds. Is there a time when Christians should be upset? Is there a time when Christians should hate? There certainly is. There certainly is. I believe that that's one of the problems that I have with watching the news, because we see sin abounding all over the place, and we hate sin. It's not necessary. You know, God says we don't hate the sinner, but we certainly hate the sin. We don't hate the sinner, but we certainly hate the sin, and that's perfectly permissible. Certainly don't want to be delving into the sin, that's for sure. Verse 9 says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Waiting upon the Lord is exercising patience. If you've been a Christian for very long, you've learned not to pray for patience. Yet it is Christian patience that will be here long after the wicked are cast into outer darkness. I tell you, when you pray for patience, God is going to provide you with opportunities to exercise patience. You know, as I mentioned this morning, for folks who may have been burdened by the Lord to respond to His call, maybe they haven't answered the call to redemption, and the Holy Spirit's beating upon their heart. Well, right where they stand, they can make a commitment to the Lord Jesus. Right there in the pew. But they need to go out and they need to share that with somebody. And the more that they share their love for the Lord Jesus, the more they talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, the more bold and the more confident they become in their relationship to Him. And so the more we pray for patience, the more opportunities God gives us to exercise our patience. And before you know it, we can just about face pretty much anything the devil wants to throw at us. But it's not because, and we don't overcome those because of who we are. We overcome those because we know that the Lord Jesus is walking with us. We know that we have angels about us, protecting us and taking care of us. And so we can trust in the Lord. And we can be patient and wait upon His moving. Verse 10 says, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. God is one day going to jerk the wicked right out of this world and cast them right into hell. And it's called the rapture of the wicked. In Revelation 14, verses 18 through 20, many times people read this verse and they think, well, this is the rapture of the church. No, this is the rapture of the wicked. In Revelation chapter 14, verses 18 through 20, the Bible says, and another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of what? The wrath of God. All of these folks that are being gathered up are ripe for judgment. and they're cast right into the winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even into the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. There's a rapture of the believer, and there's a rapture of the wicked. The wicked, God will take care of in His time, but we are to keep the faith and encourage the brethren and wait upon the Lord. Verse 11 says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." And this is the peace that the world cannot give nor the wicked find. And this is the peace that passes, as the Bible says, all understanding. In John 14:27, God said, Jesus Christ says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Today we live in times that are fearful, you know. With all the terrorist activity going on in the world, you know, you think, wonder when they'll become knocking on, wonder when some terrorist will come knocking on your door. Well, God says, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. You trust the Lord. You walk with Him on a daily basis. You let Him be the light and the lamp. The lamp unto your feet and the light unto your path. That's what God wants to do. And when you get up in the morning with Him and He becomes a part of your every day, you're going to find that you're going to have that patience that God wants you to have. And you're not going to fear what man can do to you, but you're going to wait patiently for His coming. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's soon. I think He's coming real soon. We just need to be ready. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word, this evening, Father, for Your Word, and we just ask You, Father, to bless those that have come tonight. Lord, as little Amy and as Cynthia and Daisy have asked tonight to come forward and to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, Lord, we just ask Your blessing upon them, and we pray for them, Father. We thank You for their love for You. We thank You for their desire to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. So, Father, tonight, Lord, as we close the message, and just before we enter into the communion service, we ask Your blessing upon these ladies and any others, Father, that may want to come to this altar and lift up a need or a petition to You. Father, You bless, You get praise, get honor, and glory, for we ask these things in Christ's name and for His sake. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. The invitation? 387.